Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Halloween is a controversial subject among Christians. Churches have fall festivals rather than Halloween carnivals. It was not, as some would have you believe, originally a pagan holiday. It was a Christian holiday called All Hallows Day or All Saints Day for the purpose of remembering the saints and martyrs. And like many other holy days, it has become secularized, even paganized, like Easter and Christmas. But if God is good at anything, it is redeeming things. In that spirit, I like to redeem things. Many religious people have a jaded view of holidays. They become cynical about the commercialization of Christmas and Easter and other days, like Halloween. Not me. I want to redeem those days and make them about the Lord and His kingdom. So, I would like to take some time to honor saints and martyrs. We will begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and some of the Old Testament heroes. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous. In Genesis, it tells the story. Now Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a cultivator of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought an offering from the firstborn of his flock and from their fat portions. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now there are speculations about the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering. One says that Abel's offering involved sacrifice of an innocent life, and Cain's did not. After all, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But the text in Genesis does not indicate that this was in any way an offering for atonement. Cain was a cultivator, so he brought what he had. Abel kept flocks, so he brought what he had. As important as atonement is, I think we read too much into this story. Another view is that Abel brought the fat portion from the firstborn of his flock. Therefore, he gave his best, and Cain did not. However, it does not say that Cain brought his offering from a lesser quality crop. Again, we are reading too much into this story. The point the author is consistently making here is that Old Testament people were justified by faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous. The simplest explanation is that Cain's sacrifice was better because he offered it by faith and Cain did not. A couple of lines later it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Cain's sacrifice was not pleasing because it was not one done in faith. Abel's sacrifice was given by faith, and so it pleased God. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. Genesis says Enoch walked with God, and God took him. An old preacher said, the Lord and Enoch were walking along, and one day God said, Enoch, we're closer to my place than yours. Why don't you just come home with me? Now Enoch was attested to have been pleasing to God. And the next line says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. This is plain and simple. You must have faith to believe that God exists, and you must believe that he exists in order to come to him, and you must have faith in him to pray to him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah had enough faith to build a ship on dry land, even though it had never rained before. Faith enables us to forget about the past and move toward the future. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left not knowing where he was going. Faith enables us to move toward the future, which holds the unknown. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Faith gives you a heavenly economy, not rooted in this world. By the way, the only piece of land that Abraham possessed was a cave in Machpelah, which he purchased for Sarah's burial. Sometimes things we love must die in order for us to have new possessions. Still, I'm sure Abraham would have given up the deed to gain back the love of his life. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Not enough is said about the faith of Sarah. She is often criticized for encouraging Abraham to have a child with Hagar, and much is made about her laughing at the thought of bearing a child in her old age. But this scripture says, by faith, she received the ability to conceive. You know, it's not unlike those who make fun of Peter for sinking in the waves when, in reality, he's the only person besides Jesus to have walked on water. No one else even got out of the boat. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number, and as innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It was 400 years later that Joshua began possessing the land. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And like those patriarchs, we must set our higher, better goals. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and the one who had received the promises was offering up his only son. It was he to whom it was said, "Through Isaac your descendants shall be named." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. God called Isaac Abraham's only son. Jesus was God's only begotten son. Mount Moriah and Calvary are in close proximity. Both sons were obedient to their father. Both carried wood up a hill to be sacrificed on. Both were candidates for resurrection. Isaac was a type of God's son. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Isaac's blessing set things in motion. Jacob stole Esau's blessing, which had led Jacob to run from his brother. This led the way for Jacob to find the mothers of his eventual 12 sons, and for his name to be changed from Jacob, meaning supplanter, to Israel, meaning one who wrestles with God. He became the father of a nation, and to this day we call that nation Israel. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. This is a great picture of Jacob acknowledging that he was still a pilgrim, getting ready for his next journey of faith. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Joseph knew they would make it to the promised land. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Their faith was rewarded by Moses becoming a leader of a nation. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as though seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. The story of the Exodus is a picture of the Christian walk of faith, out of bondage and into promise. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the Israelites marched around them for 7 days. Jericho is a lesson of faith, to trust God rather than our own strength. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Rahab was a Gentile and a prostitute, but she was saved by faith. Rahab is also listed in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. All of those heroes were people of faith. Not only were the victories by faith, but some had faith to endure suffering. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and flogging, and further chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, people of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts on mountains and sheltering in caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, Paul tells us about characters in the Old Testament. These things happened to them as an example and were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands watch out that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to all mankind, and God is faithful, so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But he will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now I would like to call attention to some Christian saints who were martyred for the faith. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth." It's interesting that the word witness is the same word as martyr. Stephen became the first martyr in Acts chapter 7. And then in Acts chapter 12, Herod had James, the brother of John, killed. Tradition says that 10 of the original disciples were martyred. Judas, of course, hanged himself, and only John lived to an old age and died of natural causes. And he spent many, many years in exile on the island of Patmos. The Apostle Paul was beheaded in the mid-60s in Rome. Reformers John Wycliffe, John Huss, and William Tyndale were martyred for heresy by the established church. Martyrdom continued from then until now, even in modern times. Missionary Jim Elliot was killed in 1956. His wife, Elizabeth, wrote two books, Shadow of the Almighty and Through the Gates of Splendor, about her late husband. You can also read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Richard Wurmbrandt spent 14 years in a communist prison for his faith. In 1967, he founded Voice of the Martyrs, then under the name Jesus to the Communist World. You can find their website at persecution.com. Men and women have laid down their lives for the faith. Honoring those who went before us should be a part of our tradition during All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, Halloween. Let us not forget those who blazed the trail for us. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.